I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, see, go, be. You're going to be hearing these words a lot around here in the coming months. Come, see, go, be. For this is what we have chosen as our parish's focus for the upcoming year. In fact, you will probably hear them beyond just this homecoming Sunday and through this year, because these four words are more than just a theme. They are a distillation of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ at any time, in any place. They are the framework for the life of faith. And thus, they are the foundation for the function of the church, because they are the four steps that Jesus modeled for how to be his disciple. Jesus' first work was to gather people. He invited them, called them to come and follow me. And many of them did. And that call has echoed on through the ages, not just in those people he met directly, but to all those who have heard the call of Jesus in their hearts and felt themselves likewise invited to come. Which means we too are called, and so we come, we show up, we gather, we are present with and for one another at the invitation of our Lord. This has always been the first step of discipleship. And once those first followers took that step and found themselves gathered in the presence of Jesus, something always happened. They saw something, experienced something, a glimpse of glory, a heavenly healing. They heard a teaching so profound it spoke straight to their soul, or witnessed an act of love so beautiful it opened up their hearts. So too, when we come and gather, we have the opportunity for just such an encounter with the divine, which is why we, the church, try to facilitate these transcendent moments. We try to help open people up to them. And we do this in a myriad of ways, through art and architecture and music, which lift our soul to a higher sense of being, through the written and spoken word, that is scripture or prayer or a sermon, and through our sacramental acts, like communion, where we make that encounter with the presence of Jesus so real that we can taste it. But there are other moments too that we seek to foster. Shared laughter around a shared meal, a handhold or a hug in a moment of distress, in acts of grace and forgiveness, or of generosity or justice. All of these open us up to opportunities to see God, to be touched by his transcendent presence. The earliest disciples came because they were called, but they stayed because of what they saw and experienced. And this is my hope for us too. But then, interestingly, Jesus did not hold on to these followers. He sent them off. He sent them away. Go, he said, into the countryside in pairs, or into the cities and towns in groups. Go and share what you have seen. Go and show what you have learned. Seek out and reach out to those who have not yet been called or welcomed, or who have not yet seen that glimpse of glory which you now bear with you as you go. 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 He says, and be. Be an example of that which you have encountered. Be an agent of love, a creator of beauty, a purveyor of blessing, or an advocate for justice. Be the kind of person who helps and heals, who brings comfort and hope and compassion to those who need it. Be that which you have seen and heard and come to know in me, Jesus says. This is what discipleship looks like. Come, see, go, be. This is the rhythm of the Christian life, not just this year, but every year, every day, really. This is how we become better followers of Jesus. But it is going to cost us something. In fact, a lot. Jesus makes that clear in our gospel passage this morning. Now, by this point in Jesus' ministry, the crowds that are following him have been growing quite large. And while they're on the road, he is compelled to stop everyone and lay it out for them. Look, he says, if you are going to follow me, you need to understand something. This is not a part-time thing. This is not a convenient thing. This is not an easy thing. It is going to cost you something. It is going to cost you something because it will lay claim to every part of your life, your relationships, your possessions, your very self. You need to know this now at the outset, he says, or it is not going to work out for you. The most well-known treatise on these costs of discipleship is by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was the 20th century German theologian and pastor who resisted the rise of Nazism in his country, ultimately paying for those efforts with his life. He actually wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship, in which he tries to alert his readers to what is called for, what is required, if they want to claim the name of Christian. It is a challenging book, but an important one. Bonhoeffer is repulsed by Christians who, as human beings tend to do with most things, are trying to make the Christian faith cheaper and easier, rather than embracing the costs. The personal sacrifice in the name of collective benefit, which one is asked to pay as part of following Jesus. And in a moment of heartbreaking and powerful foreshadowing, he famously writes, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Now you can tell from the full context of the book that when Bonhoeffer wrote that, he didn't mean it literally, even though it became tragically true for him. Yes, in extreme circumstances, when evil is on the loose, sometimes people die for their faith, just as Jesus did. But Bonhoeffer was not encouraging people to seek out death, nor when he encouraged people to take up their cross, was Jesus asking his followers to all just come and die with him. But they are both, I think, using a bit of hyperbole in service of a very important point, which is, if you choose to follow Jesus, that needs to reorient all of your attachments and become your fundamental identity. Everything else answers to and builds on that. It is not the case that you go ahead and sort out your life and what you like and what you care about and what you believe in and then see how the Christian story might fit into that. No, it needs to be the other way around. Your commitment to Jesus Christ and the way that he lived and what he stood for, how he operated, that needs to be primary. And then you build your life on that. Which means, if we really commit to following Jesus and the process of come, see, go, be, then some things about us are going to need to change. Some parts of how we live, what we think, our attachments to things are going to have to die. Because if our encounters with God in Jesus Christ do not alter the trajectory of our life, do not transform our understanding of ourselves and how the world is meant to operate, if we walk out of the doors of this church the same as we walked into them, then we're doing it wrong. Being a disciple costs something. And it means we seek out and embrace being changed because this is what discipleship looks like. Now, having weighed these costs, it is fair to ask, is it worth it? If following Jesus means bearing all manner of uncomfortable things, of changing, of dying, why would we want to do it? Why should we want to be Christians? Well, because when you commit to following Jesus, you are not just committing to trying to live like him. Over time, you become more and more like him. And to be like him is to be like God, not in the sense of being all-powerful or all-knowing, but in the sense of the expansiveness with which you understand and appreciate and interact with the world. You begin to cherish everything and to radiate the peace and strength and love that comes from being in tune with the great heartbeat of the universe, even if that makes life more difficult. There's a feeling of freedom in this, of courage, of joy even, that comes from attaching yourself to that ultimate reality which helps us face the strains and the stresses and the sufferings of life. In following Jesus, our lives, our souls, our very selves become as full and expansive and wondrous as the God to whom we bow. And this opening up and filling up of our souls does not only connect us more deeply with the one holy and living God, it also brings us into deeper connection with the whole created order and our fellow human beings. And this, naturally, is what brings forth those good things in us like compassion and mercy and love. When you choose to follow Jesus, it makes you more like that, which in turn makes the world more like that. And that, to me, feels deeply right. This is essentially the same conclusion that Bonhoeffer came to at the end of The Cost of Discipleship. He writes, "If we surrender ourselves utterly to Christ, we cannot help bearing his image ourselves. We become a reflection of him. And that reflection of his glory will shine forth in us even in this life, even as we share his agony and bear his cross. Our life, then, will be a progress from knowledge to knowledge, from glory, to an ever closer conformity to the image of the Son of God. And through this fellowship and communion with the incarnate Lord, we will recover our true humanity," he writes, "and retrieve our solidarity with the whole human race." Does that sound worth it? Well then, come and see, so we can go and be. Amen.